Okay, well, wrap up the material in our textbook by applying some applications of the Lebesgue theory that we've developed to basic harmonic analysis. So this will give you some ideas of how Lebesgue theory is used in practice by analysts today. So we'll begin with a definition. Let f be an integrable function on the reals. Define the Hardy, Littlewood maximal function mf of f to be mf of x equals the sup over capital R bigger than 0 of 1 over 2r integral x minus r to x plus r of absolute f of t d mu t, where of course d mu is Lebesgue measure as usual. In the 20th century, the Hardy-Littlewood maximal function became a fundamental tool of harmonic analysis. We shall learn two nice uses of this concept. Definition: let f be a measurable function on the reals. We say that f is of weak type 1 if there is a constant c bigger than 0, so that for each lambda bigger than 0, the measure of the set of x and r, where absolute fx is bigger than lambda, is less than or equal to capital C divided by lambda. It's easy to check that if f is an L1, that is to say f is integrable, then f is weak type 1. And you might, as an exercise, you might try to prove that. Example, the function fx equals 1 over x is weak type 1 on R. It is not, however, Lebesgue integrable. And you can check directly from the definition that 1 over x is of weak type 1. That's a simple high school algebra problem. And you can also check for yourself that 1 over x is not Lebesgue integrable either at the origin or at infinity. Definition. Let capital T be a linear operator on the space L1 of Lebesgue integrable functions, taking values in the measurable functions. We say that T is of weak type 1, 1 if there is a positive constant C, so that for each f in L1 and each lambda bigger than 0, the measure of the set of all x in the reals where absolute T fx is bigger than lambda is less than or equal to a constant times the L1 norm of f divided by lambda. So you can see that we're mandating here that L1 functions are taken to weak type 1 functions with a sort of obvious type of estimate involved. Theorem. The Hardy-Littlewood maximal operator M is weak type 1, 1. In order to prove this result, we need a geometric result that is commonly known as a covering lemma. And covering lemmas have become sort of a subject in themselves. It's a very interesting idea. So a lemma, let K be a compact set in the reals, let I sub J be a finite collection of open intervals that covers K in the sense that K is contained in the union of the I sub J's. Write each I sub J as Cj minus Rj, comma Cj plus Rj for each J. Then there is a pairwise disjoint subcollection I sub jk with the property that the threefold dilates 3ij, which is cj minus 3rj, cj plus 3rj, still covers k. Proof of this covering lemma. Choose I sub j1, which has the greatest length. If there is more than one, then simply select one. Next, choose I sub j2, which is disjoint from I sub j1 and which has greatest length. If there's more than one, then simply select one. Continue in this fashion until the process stops. And of course, it must stop because we started out with a finite collection of I sub j's. Now, the chosen I sub jk's is pairwise disjoint by mandate, and we claim that the three I sub jk's cover k. It suffices to check that 3 sub I sub jk covers each of the original functions I sub j. So fix an I sub j. Let I sub jk be the first of the selected intervals that intersects I sub j, then the length of I sub jk must be greater than or equal to that of I sub j. By the way, we selected the I sub jk's, but then it follows from the triangle inequality that 3 times I sub jk contains I sub j, and that's what we wish to know. That proves the covering lemma. Now we can prove the theorem that, in fact, the Hardy-Littlewood operator is weak type 1, 1. So fix an f in L1, fix a lambda bigger than 0, set capital S sub lambda equal to the set of all x in the reals where the maximal function of f is bigger than lambda. Let k be a compact subset of S sub lambda. We shall prove that the measure of k is less than or equal to a constant times the L1 norm of f divided by lambda. Then the inner regularity of Lebesgue measure will yield the result that we need. Notice that for each little k in capital K, there is an interval little k minus epsilon k, little k plus epsilon k, so that 1 over 2 epsilon k, integral k minus epsilon k to k plus epsilon k, absolute f d mu is bigger than lambda. That's just the definition of the maximal function. Now the intervals I sub k, which is k minus epsilon k, k plus epsilon k, cover k because there's one interval for each little k. We may use the compactness of capital K to pass to a finite subcover, and then we may invoke the covering lemma to find a pairwise disjoint subcollection I sub KL whose threefold dilates still cover K. And now we can estimate as follows: the measure of K is less than or equal to the measure of the union of the three I sub KLs, because the three I sub KLs cover capital K, which is less than or equal to the summation from L equals 1 to M of the measure of 3i sub KL, that's just subadditivity of the measure, which is equal to the sum from L equals 1 to M of 3 times the measure of I sub KL, that's just a basic property of Lebesgue measure, and this, by the choice of the I sub KLs, is less than or equal to 3 times the summation from summation L equals 1 to M, 1 over lambda integral I sub KL, absolute ft d mu t, and that's less than or equal to 3 over lambda times the L1 norm of f. In the last inequality, of course, we use the fact that the I sub KLs are pairwise disjoint, so the sum of the integrations over the I sub KLs is less than or equal to the integral over all of R. And that's the inequality that we wanted to prove. And now we formulate and prove a version of the celebrated Lebesgue differentiation theorem. So theorem, let f be a Lebesgue integrable function. Then for almost every x in the reals, we have the limit as r goes to 0, 1 over 2r, integral minus r to r, ft dt equals f of x. Proof. Fix an f in L1, let epsilon bigger than 0, choose a continuous compact to supported function g, so that the L1 norm of f minus g is less than epsilon squared. Then we have the measure of the set of x in the reals, where the absolute value of the lim sup of 1 over 2r integral minus r to r ft dt minus the lim inf as r goes to 0 of 1 over 2r integral minus r to r ft dt. Absolute value is bigger than epsilon, and now we apply the triangle inequality twice to estimate this in three pieces, namely the measure of the set of all x and r where the lim sup of 1 over 2r integral minus r to r ft minus gt in absolute value is less than bigger than epsilon over 3, plus the measure of the set of all x and r where the absolute value of the lim sup 1 over 2r integral minus r to r gt dt minus the lim inf 1 over 2r integral minus r to r gt dt absolute value is bigger than epsilon over 3, plus the measure of the set of all x in the reals where the lim sup of 1 over 2r integral minus r to r gt minus ft and absolute value is bigger than epsilon over 3. And now we can easily estimate each of these three pieces. The middle term on the right is obviously 0 because g is continuous. The first and last terms can be majorized by the measure of the set of all x in the reals where the Hardy-Lüder maximal function of f minus g is less than epsilon over 3, plus the measure of the set of all x and r where the Hardy-Lüder maximal function of g minus f is bigger than epsilon over 3, and by our weak type 1-1 estimate, this is less than or equal to 3 times the L1 norm of f minus g divided by epsilon over 3 plus 3 times the L1 norm of f minus g divided by epsilon over 3, which is less than or equal to 3 times epsilon squared over epsilon over 3 plus 3 times epsilon squared divided by epsilon over 3, which equals 18 epsilon. So we have proved that the measure of the set of all x to the reals were the absolute value of the lim sup of 1 over 2r integral minus r to r ft dt minus the lim inf of 1 over 2r integral minus r to r ft dt absolute value bigger than epsilon is equal to 0. We have thus shown that the desired limit exists almost everywhere, since when f is continuous, it is obvious that the limit equals f of x. It follows then that the limit equals f almost everywhere for any f in L1. Now we conclude with a useful result about average as a function against dilates of testing functions. And this is a really pervasive and useful result that one encounters all the time. Let phi be a continuous function with compact support. Assume that phi is between 0 and 1, all its values are between 0 and 1, and that phi vanishes outside the interval minus 1, 1. Also suppose that the integral of phi equals 1. For epsilon bigger than 0, define a phi sub epsilon of x to be epsilon to the minus 1 power phi of x over epsilon. Then we have, for f an integrable function on the reals, for almost every x, the limit as epsilon goes to 0, of f convolved with phi epsilon of x equals f of x. So you see, if phi were not only continuous but smooth, then f convolved with phi sub epsilon would be a smooth function. So this is a nice way to approximate an arbitrary integral f by a smooth function. Just for example. Proof. Observe that phi x is less than or equal to the characteristic function of minus 1, 1. As a result, phi sub epsilon of x is less than or equal to epsilon to the minus 1 power. Characteristic function of minus epsilon epsilon. Because of this last estimate, we see that the proof of this new theorem is just as in the proof of the last theorem. We estimate the lim sup minus the lim inf of three terms, and we then estimate each of those three terms with the corresponding term that comes from the Hardy-Littlewood maximum function. We will leave the details for you to think about, and that is the end of today's lecture and the end of our coverage of measure theory in this course. Thank you.